would like to remind you about a couple of things, as I need to remind myself, which is prayer is a weapon that we have. Prayer has different dimensions. And I remember what God said to us last year, especially for people who are struggling because they are very busy in life, and they say, I don't have time to pray. We don't find time to pray. We give time to pray. Let me repeat what I said. We don't find time to pray, because if we do, we will never find time to pray. There are so many things that will draw our attention from prayer. We need intentionally, willingly, we need to give time to pray. And so we do today. We also remind ourselves of God's promises, which is the bedrock of our hope. That's the reason why we have the reflection. And I would like to remind ourselves that we need wisdom for us to be guided in whatever we do. As I said yesterday, we're not completely out of the woods yet. But we don't have to fear. We simply have to be careful. Let us use wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, in everything that we do until such a time. To the reflection. When you enter a church, or when I enter a church, you will see side chapels, not to mention the stained glass windows and ornaments telling biblical stories. Remember that in olden times, they did not have Bibles. So all of these things is spoke to them as they saw, as they look at the stained glass and other things. We would say church ornaments. In a basilica or a cathedral, you will see sometimes six pillars on each side on the nave. Which there are times I've seen churches wherein you have, for each pillar, you have a statue of the disciple. As I mentioned yesterday, chapter 17 of the Gospel of John is commonly known as the high priestly prayer, composed of three parts: the prayer of glory, the prayer for the apostles, which we're going to be looking at today, and the prayer for the church. Aaron was a high priest, and Moses was a prophet who prayed and stood before God on behalf of Israel. In the same token, Jesus prays for the priestly work of his successors, the would-be apostles. Our Lord prays not for the world, but for the men who would become apostles and who would proclaim his resurrection. It's upon them that the whole church is built. No wonder why there are 12 pillars in the church representing the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples of Christ. St. Paul says that upon them, upon the 12, that the whole church is built, Jesus as the chief cornerstone. The next time you participate in the Holy Mass, I would like you to notice a priest gesture. There are several things that a priest does, but particularly he does two primary things. Of course, the primary thing is celebrating the Eucharist, but if you will notice, the priest will face the people and turn around and face God, and then turn around, face the people, turn around and face God. And what it means is that when the priest faces the people, he speaks on behalf of God. When he faces God and on his back to the people, he prays to God on behalf of the people. That's what the priest does. A mediator, so to speak. Someone who stands on behalf of the people before God. Moses, in particular, spoke to the people on behalf of God, and as well as spoke to God on behalf of the people. He interceded and mediated on their behalf when the Israelites worshipped the golden calf. And God was very angry. And he said, I'm going to destroy them. Moses said, please don't. For your name's sake. Moses interceded on behalf of God's people. And the priestly ministry, for those of you who are perhaps listening to me and joining me, and you are a priest in the church, that is the responsibility of the priest, to offer sacrifice, but to mediate, to offer sacrifice on behalf of God's people. That even God's people, sometimes we humans, make mistakes and draw away from God. But we tell God, say, God, through the merits and the mediation of Jesus Christ, we ask your blessing to be upon your people, the grace to draw them back to your kingdom. Jesus prays to God, the Father, that his disciples be kept in his name. Let's talk about names for a moment. Names are enormously important in the Bible. A person's name was more than a label or identification, but seen as a sort of a sacrament signifying who the person really was. To know someone's name was to know that person. The children of Israel understood not to take the name of God lightly. For instance, God changed the name of Jacob to Israel, which means he who struggles with God, and Cephas to Peter, the rock, to mark a significant, decisive, crucial point that occurred in their lives. Names can also denote dynasties and families. To share someone's name is to belong to their family. Christians receive the name of God when they are baptized, because they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, belonging to the family of God. Jesus prayed for the apostles, asking the Father to preserve them as his family, because by virtue of their baptism, they may be in the world, but they are not of the world. They are now part of the family of God. This prayer of our Lord for the would-be apostles is like a prayer of ordination. It's like a prayer of consecration, consecrating, ordaining them into the truth. There are biblical models of ordination provided in the Old Testament, like priesthood. What is ordination, as it's one of the sacraments provided by the church? Ordination is the setting apart of an individual for a specific divine task, receiving authority bestowed by God. As I mention all the time, that to become a priest, bishop, deacon are not ranks like it would be in the military. No, there are specific functions, and God gives them the authority to fulfill those functions. Why did Jesus pray for them and not for the world? Why? Because their authority will come from God and not from the world. The authority of the sacred orders, including the laity, does not come from the world. It is not the world that bestows such authority to fulfill God's work on earth. It is God. That authority comes from God. The idea of Christian baptism is not merely an entrance to the family of God. I believe it goes beyond that. The sacrament of baptism is the ordination / anointing, as it were, of all God's people to do the work of God on earth. We pray for God's kingdom to come, and we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does it happen? By God and through God, in partnership with God's creation, in partnership with the church, in partnership with those who have been baptized, in partnership to those who have responded to his divine call, God fulfills what he promised and what he said to his disciples to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Beloved, it is not something that will fall from heaven. God had, in a mysterious way, decided to make you and me a partner of what God is doing in the earth. If God's will is going to be seen and demonstrated on earth, He's going to use you. He's going to use me. We are partners with God. It was through the apostles who the religious leaders considered as uneducated that God changed the world, as we have seen in the book of Acts. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. When Christians espouse the conviction that whatever trade or profession, of course we're speaking about a moral profession, that whatever trade and profession we have, you have, that we are a part of what God is doing in the earth. It is part of God's work, particularly when it is done as unto the Lord. That's the reason why I've entitled this reflection as Soli Deo Gloria, to God be the glory. St. Paul said that even the slaves in their time, when they do their work for their master, do it as unto the Lord. Whether you are a teacher, an architect, an engineer, a doctor, whatever it is. As a Christian, we need to be doing what we are doing as unto the Lord. Our work, our profession is more than to earn money. As a matter of fact, I see it more as God using your work to provide for your family, because God said, I will provide for all your needs. But the work that we do, not necessarily and particularly those who have given their lives as bishops and responding to the call as bishops, priests, and deacons, even if you are not in those categories, God has also ordained you and called you and anointed you in your baptism to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, so that the prayer of the church that Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, will happen and will come to its fruition. God can do it alone, but He chose you and He chose me to be partners. So today, my brothers and sisters, let us offer our hands. Let us offer our lives. Let as you go back to work tomorrow, say, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Not as to man, but first as unto the Lord. Let us offer our profession. Let us offer our trade to God and let Him be glorified on earth. And we will see a demonstration, a manifestation of His kingdom. Amen.